Well, I really believe that there is something that God is doing, that it's an increase, it's a growth, and it's also a step through. You know, it's a step over. You know, when you're going through a doorway, there's a threshold, right? And you, when you step over that, then you're in the room. Before you do that, you're just kind of looking. But when you step over the threshold, you're in the room now. You know, when somebody draws a line in the sand and you cross over that, you're saying, "Yes, I'm in." For whatever that line meant, I'm in. And I believe that there is something that God is calling us to go to increase. There is something more than what we've done and what we've known before. And so that's I'm excited to continue kind of that journey with us tonight. What we'll do, since this is tonight's talk is entitled Generous Worship. So what we're going to do is we'll take a love offering now. We'll count it, and then at the end of the night, we'll take another one to see if you learn anything. And just kidding. Good, that's good. So you can tell that this house loves to worship, loves the Lord, right? Yeah? There's something in your hearts that you love to offer. So can we just start off by what is it? What is it? This is kind of a, you know, an unscripted, you know, interview, if you will, like a man on the street interview. What is it that you love about worship? Just call it out. What do you love about worship? Music? Me too. Being at the feet of Jesus, yes.
Sort of a release.
A release. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like laughter. They say you should never suppress laughter because it spreads your hips. So you should just, if you want to laugh, just laugh. It's just good for your soul. It's medicine, right? Worship's the same way. It's just let it out. It's just release. Don't bottle it down. Yeah. What else? It's like beauty to my soul. Yeah. A celebration. Yeah. Getting close to the Father's heart. True. That's good. Yeah. What else? It's fun. Yeah, sometimes. Not always, right? It's a barrier breaker. A burden lifter. Takes a lot of pressure and guilt off you. Makes you feel better. Woohoo! Awesome. Yeah, that's good. His presence is, oh yeah, fills us up like that. Yeah. Awesome.
I always feel like it's the only time I can truly let myself go without worrying about the consequences.
The only time I can truly let myself go without worrying about the consequences, yeah. Yeah.
I'm in good hands.
Yeah, in good hands, yeah. No, it's very true. Are you really? Wow. You can find me at www.net. How about the quiet side? You guys are quiet this morning. Is this something about this section or these chairs? Or do the same people sit over here?
No.
And we just, so I'm going to unlock whatever is unlocking this section, right? Now you're free. Anything from over here? Yeah, he knows our hearts. He speaks our love language, if you will. Yeah, that's good. That's good. So it's clear, right? I think you have one too? What is it?
Giving everything to God.
It's good. You can just kind of give up, right? Just whatever you have, you give. That's a good deal. So we know that we're called to worship. We know that we're supposed to worship. We know that we like to worship, and you know, the reality is that we have lots of different backgrounds, lots of different personalities, lots of different styles and preferences. And when we start talking about worship, we often start talking about music and all the things that surround that, and the length and the volume and the style and the kinds of songs and on. So I want to know, you know, what does true worship look like? And so Of course, we go to the scripture, and so the world famous verse about worship, right, from John 4:23, says, "But a time is coming, and is already here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for anyone who will worship Him that way." And my question is always like, well, okay, what way? It says He's looking for people who will worship Him that way. What way? I mean, is it what I see my neighbor doing? Is that the way that He's looking for it? Is it maybe what I feel comfortable doing? Maybe that's the qualifier. Is it what my parents modeled for me? Is that what true worship looks like? Is it what maybe the church that's selling the most CDs? You know, the hottest new Bethel or Hillsong or name the church. Is it what they're doing? Is it just what I've always done? You know, what I learned as a child, or maybe it's what Michael W. Smith is doing. Maybe that's it. And of course, maybe, right? I mean, those might be things. They probably do reflect some of what he seeks as true worship. But just kind of again setting this foundational way of thinking about things is this, that we hold true that the scriptures ultimately and foundationally must shape our worship, our God encounters and worship. The scriptures must shape that. There's so many clues and so much truth there that we've got to say, okay, look, maybe it looks like this, maybe it looks like this, maybe it looks like how I feel, maybe it looks like what I've done, whatever. That might be true. There's probably something in there, but let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start, right? Let's start with the scriptures and what the Lord says about that. So towards the end of our time tonight, we're going to actually be kind of having some conversations with each other with some of these reflection questions, but I'm going to give them to you here at the beginning, and you can begin to think about this and begin to ask the Lord these questions. Is my worship, my expression of worship, is it filled with biblical expressions of worship? Does it look like the worship in the Bible? Does the way I worship look like what I see in the Bible, in the scripture, right? Second thought is, do my expressions of worship reflect the God that I worship? Does it look and is it awesome? Is it like God? Would I say that my personal worship is a model for others to follow? You know, you can ask yourself the question in a different way. If everybody here at Carpenters worship just like I do, would that be a good thing? Right? Would that be like, that would be awesome? Or that would be like, oh, that would be okay, I got to work on it, right? So it's a question to ask ourselves. And lastly is, are there fears that keep me from expressing biblical worship? Is there some fear that love has not conquered yet that keeps me from expressing that true biblical worship? And so, of course, one of the markers that I believe, obviously, by the title of this of tonight is that biblical worship and the scripture points to something that about worship that our worship needs to be, and that's generous. It needs to be generous. Generosity has to characterize our gifts, our giving, right? So, but before we start thinking about what that actually might look like, there's something we need to understand about generosity. In generosity, there's a giver and there's a receiver. Yeah, there's the arrow. There's a generosity arrow, and the arrow goes from the giver to the receiver, and I've always thought of myself as a really generous person. I like to be lavish, and I just, you know, I'm my buddy Anthony, who's playing the piano this morning. One time, about 8 years ago or so, we were having a conversation, and he said, "Dave, you really should be a little bit more frugal, you know, a little bit tighter with your money." And I had $80,000 of debt at that point. I was crazy, and he said that to me, you know, encouraging me to be more frugal with my money. And I said, "Man, but." I was like, I don't feel like God is that way. I mean, God's not tight and stingy and a penny pincher and frugal. He's lavish and giving and free, and I just want to be like that. And he said, well, and I thought I was, you know, being nice, and that was a good answer, wasn't it? until he finished his thought, and he said, "Well, yeah, Dave, that's supposed to be towards others." And I had, oh, thanks, man. I had this deal where I was being generous to me, which, if I would be more honest, that would actually be being selfish. Thank you very kindly for pointing that out. So in generosity always goes towards others. The arrow is pointed away from us. It's not toward us. So generous worship, it's not about me. It's not towards me. I'm not the yeah, it's great to be in God's presence, absolutely. But the heart of generous worship is God focused, is toward Him. It's the generosity arrow can't be pointing at me. So we're going to take a look at some scriptures that give us some more tangible feels for, so what does that actually look like? Because if I, you know, I'd shape my life around what made me happy, what I felt good at, what I wanted to go buy at that moment. Now, let me finish the story. November a year ago, my wife and I are completely out of debt. It's amazing. I mean, God, yeah, totally. I am amazed at what the fruit of obedience has been. God has just been so, we've seen His faithfulness evident in our lives. And so let's look at some scriptures, because as we start thinking about being generous in worship then, we start saying, okay, so it's not about me. It's not necessarily about what I like. It's not necessarily about what I'm comfortable with. It's not necessarily about you know, what I've always known and what I feel good about. There's something that God might be calling us to. Because, that, again, remember, I started off by saying there's a threshold. And if we want to be in the room together, we have to cross it. There's going to be somewhat of a cost to us. And that might be something about worship that we, you know, preferred a certain way. I don't know. Each of us has a unique thing that God is going to be speaking to us. So let's take a look at some of those scriptures. We'll start with Isaiah 43, 19 to 25. And I'll be reading out of the message tonight. It says like this: "Be alert, be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the badlands. The wild animals will say, 'Thank you, the coyotes and the buzzards, because I provided water in the desert and rivers through sun-baked earth. Drinking water for the people that I chose, the people I especially made for myself, a people custom made to praise me. But you didn't pay me a bit of attention, Jacob. You so quickly tired of me, Israel. You wouldn't even bring sheep for offerings and worship. You couldn't be bothered with sacrifices. And it wasn't that I asked that much from you. I didn't expect expensive presents. But you didn't even do the minimum. So stingy with me, so closed-fisted. And yet you haven't been stingy with your sins. You've been plenty generous with them, and I'm fed up. But I, yes, I am the one that takes care of your sins. That's what I do. I don't keep a list of your sins." So the Lord begins to point these things out, and He says, you know, I made you for myself. I custom made you with a purpose, and that is to praise me. That's why I made you. And but He's like, man, you didn't even do the minimum. You're so stingy and so close-fisted with me. And so the first kind of concept about what does generous worship look like, the first principle is that generous worship goes beyond the minimum. You know, if I just do just what I was asked to do, you know, think about people that you work with. Does everybody know somebody that kind of just does the minimum? Just enough to not get fired, right? What? Do you like working with those kind of people? No way. Are you one of those people? No, I'm just kidding. Don't worry. you can't call somebody generous who just does the minimum. They might be okay, but they're not generous. They're like, oh yeah, he's a fine guy. He does kind of this much. He's not generous. But worship that's generous goes way beyond the minimum. And when I first moved to Lancaster County in 97, I was leading worship at Acts Covenant Fellowship, and I'd moved up from Texas, and so I was leading worship, and I was kind of like, you know, playing, kind of getting to the end of what I had planned, and I was kind of winding my time down, and I was like, okay, that's about enough. I'm thinking I'm ready to stop. But I just got this feel, like this pull from the congregation that there's like, no, don't stop yet. No, like, come on, we're just getting going. I mean, come on, just. And it was just like they couldn't give enough, you know. And I was just like, oh, wow, I've got something to learn here. You know, they're a lot more generous than I am in worship. I need to step up and kind of match that level of generosity, because they just wanted to give and give and give and give, and that's an expression of generous worship. Another scripture, Matthew 26, 6-9. We had talked about this a little bit this morning, at least the story of the woman who came in and anointed Jesus' feet. When Jesus was at Bethany, it says, a guest of Simon the leper, a woman, came up to him as he was eating dinner and anointed him with a bottle of very expensive perfume. And when the disciples saw what was happening, they were furious. That's criminal. This could have been sold for a lot of money and handed out to the poor. Now, hold on a second. You know the end of the story, right? Jesus sticks up for her and, you know, says, hey, guys, listen, she's done something that's very beautiful to me. But she didn't know that. She didn't know what was going to happen to that. She had to go express. She had to go and pour out. You know, she couldn't just... She didn't have the scripture. Said, well, let me read how this story ends before I decide what to do. She just had to pour out. She gave, and generous worship accepts the risk of being misunderstood. And now here's something that's really good to remember. Can you tell what's going on in my heart right now? No, I didn't think so. Could you tell what was going on in Daryl's heart a little while ago, or Nathan's heart this morning, Susanna's heart this morning? Not a clue. You might have a guess, right? If somebody has a scowl on their face, you might have an idea, but you don't know. I might be completely faking every time that I lead worship, and I'm just kind of like going through the motions, and I'm putting on a good act, and oh yeah, God, we love you, God. Whatever is going on in my heart, could be. Or I could be like, I really love you, God, and I'm overwhelmed by you, and I love you. But here's the deal. I have to be okay with realizing that you don't know what's going on inside. You might come to the wrong conclusion about me. And am I okay with that? You know, and how many of you had that conversation, you know, when you're standing here and you're like, well, I really want to praise the Lord and just kind of be kind of a little bit crazier than I usually am because I'm just really overwhelmed. What if they think that I'm trying to put on a show? And what if they think I'm, you know, being, and I just, okay, I'll just, I love you, God. You know, like we do these things because we're aware of those around us. And we thought, well, what if they misunderstand me? Or what if you're just like, you know, I just want to rest before the Lord. And I know I should stand up, but I just want to sit down and think about the Lord like this. But if I do that, somebody's going to think, oh, they must be having a bad time in their lives and they don't love God anymore because they're sitting down during worship. And who sits down during worship, you know? The honest children among us. Yeah, buddy.
He's laying down.
Yeah, he's laying down. Hey, if I could lay down and preach, I would do that. It's a true story. Yeah. Well, I was basking in the sun earlier, but now it's gone down. So I just believe that that's part of the sacrifice, that's part of the cost, I think, is that we have to accept this risk. We might be misunderstood. People might not get us. They might not understand because they can't see what's inside of our hearts. You just can't. You just don't. I can know, usually. Sometimes I don't even know. God knows, always, right? Next couple of scriptures. From Matthew 5:48, and then Deuteronomy 16:10 and 17. It says this, Matthew 5:48. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. You're kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity and live generously and graciously toward others, the way that God lives towards you. And then in Deuteronomy 16, verse 10, it says, celebrate the Feast of Weeks to God by bringing your free will offering and give as generously as God, your God, has blessed you. And then later in the chapter, no one is to show up in the presence of God empty-handed. Each man must bring as much as he can manage, giving generously in response to the blessings of God, your God. So, what's the picture of God? You know, what's he like? And when Dara was asking, you know, when we were singing beautiful, wonderful, marvelous, or can't remember quite the words, I was like, okay, God, what is that picture? You know, I want to see that for me. And immediately I came to mind when I was leaving this afternoon, after church today, I love vapor trails. You know, the airplanes in the sky that do the vapor. And today was awesome for that. I mean, just I love it. Just it feels like stuff is happening. Somebody's going somewhere. I love airplanes, and it was beautiful. And I took this picture through the bare branch trees and this blue sky, and it was awesome. I was like, oh, that is so cool. And that's on my Facebook cover picture. But that's the picture that snapped into my head like right away. That sky, that blueness, and just the vapor trails, and God is so amazing. I mean, is God ever boring? Is God ever like, just like whatever and weak and kind of anemic? Can you even imagine a God that's like that? That's ridiculous, right? Now, I think there was a God like that. And in the morning, he was laying on the ground and his head had rolled to the door, right? Is that one of the Dagon or one of the gods that got toppled over? Anyway, but God's not like that. God is amazing. He loves us so much. He's mysterious. He's like beyond our imagination can even go. And so our worship really needs to reflect some of that. It needs to reflect the God we worship. It needs to reflect the object of our worship. Something about the gift that we give, you know, it's if I can figure it all out, and if I can think through it, and it's all like, yep, and that's going to happen next, and then I'm going to check that off my list, and then I'm missing something about God because it's too, I've figured it out. You know, one of my friend's dad says, well, never mind. I figured my filter worked. That's cool. It doesn't happen very often. You know, if we figure everything out and everything is just like, you know, do you need much faith when you know all the answers and when you know how everything's going to work? No. You know, without faith, it's not possible to please God. Because he that believes, he that comes, oh, man. Somebody help me out. Without faith, it's not possible to please God. He that believes, who comes to him must believe that he is and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Thank you. There's a faith element in that. And if we have everything figured out and we know kind of what to do and what to say and how to look and all that stuff, we miss this thing about reflecting God. And if you think back to this morning and the whole display thing, like we worship his display and that we're supposed to display him, we're supposed to reflect him, we're supposed to radiate kind of like the moon does, right? We don't have light of our own, but we look pretty amazing up in the sky because we're reflecting off the sun. It's okay to look amazing. I know it's not a very Mennonite thing to say and do if any of you have that background. I'm bad. All right. Matthew 5:15-16 is the next scripture that gives us a picture here. And it says like this: if I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you up on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. By opening up our lives, we're going to draw the world to us. By showing Jesus, by being open to our lives. And generous worship, I believe, will attract those that are far from God. It will attract those who are far from, who don't know, who don't have a relationship with Jesus. It'll attract those. The real worship, like singing a nice song in church, maybe, but real generous worship, real like over the top generous worship. And again, I want the Lord to define that for you because I see so many different kinds of churches, styles, backgrounds. I don't have like a certain, this is the way that worship should look, whatever. This is God. God needs to reveal that to us, and see what's generous for me isn't necessarily generous for Daryl. And vice versa. You know? God compares our generosity to what he's calling us to do. And if we're saying yes to what he calls me to do. So, but as I'm that way, I will attract those who don't know Jesus. And this is kind of a weird story for me to share, but I always feel like it's important to say this. I have a friend, his name is Gene, and he's an amazing, amazing sound engineer. Doesn't know Jesus, kind of has gone to some churches or like, I'll put quotations around the churches, but he definitely doesn't follow Jesus, right? But he sent my dad a letter. I had worked with him a number of times, like I'd be leading worship and he'd be running sound for the event, and so I knew him that way. But he sent this letter to my dad, I think it was probably an email, and he says this. He says, I was not gifted with the great faith in God that your son David is blessed with, but I'm a very good judge of character, and I'm here to tell you that you have a wonderful son. He's gifted in so many ways, but his greatest gifts are his love of life and his ability to work with people in a joyous way. I've seen him play guitar and piano and sing praise, and he's talented on that, but what really touches me is that he does it from his heart. You can really feel his spirit when he plays. And this is true also just hanging out with him. Thanks for having him be a part of my life. And, you know, when I saw that, I was like, God, are you serious? This, like, person who doesn't even know you sees me in you, and he's attracted to that. He wanted to be around. He's like, I just like hanging out. You know, I just want to be there. I want to... Wow, that's great. And I said, this is you attracting people who don't know you because I'm living my life openly before him and being generous with that. I have a word picture for you. And it's a different apple than this apple. Yuck. That's not an apple. I know. I'm working on it. There it is. There's the apple. It's a different apple than that apple. But it's an apple nonetheless. So, for a second, and if you fall asleep, I'll have to wake you up. Close your eyes. Easy now, no snoring. Imagine for a second, a lush apple tree. Branches kind of sagging from the weight of the fruit. Full of green leaves providing lots of shade. A sturdy trunk, healthy trunk. And the fruit. I mean, aren't your thoughts just filled with how you would enjoy that fruit? Now open your eyes and ask this question. How much of that fruit does a tree eat?
60%
a day is incorrect. It's a good guess, though, and I appreciate the guess. No, the tree doesn't eat the apples. The tree grows the apples and gives the apples. The tree doesn't sit under its own shade. The tree provides shade for people who come and sit under it. The tree is just, and I think that's a picture for us. And, you know, next time you start thinking about something that you don't like in worship, think about this idea. Generous worship is not focused on the one making the offering. In other words, be an apple tree. Just pop out the fruits. Let your life be full of fruit and full of offering to the Lord. And it's not focused on you. You just give it away. It's go for it. It's for you, Lord. It's not focused on the one making the offering. 1 Chronicles 29, 17 and 19 is the next scripture. Oh. Which reminds me. Is the computer's hooked up sound-wise to the... Okay, because I'm about to... It has a audio on one of the next slides, just so you know. Thanks. Thanks for being in on our pre-planning meeting here. 1 Chronicles 29, 17 to 19 says this, I know, dear God, that you care nothing for the surface. You want us, our true selves. And so I have given from the heart honestly and happily, and now... See all these people doing the same, giving freely and willingly. What a joy. God, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this generous spirit alive forever in these people always. And keep their hearts firmly set on you. And give my son Solomon an uncluttered and a focused heart so that he can obey what you've commanded. Live by your directions and counsel and carry through with building the temple for which I have provided. I love that God wants us, our true selves. And when we walk in and experience the body of Christ, this should be the safest, you've got to be who you are place in the world. You know? And now Christians, we're slightly notoriously bad at being judgmental and unloving. But what it should be, no, well, not here. Nobody's told me anything. I just, you know. But there's this thing where we come together and when we're before the Lord, he just wants our true selves. He wants us. He made us. And you know what? He didn't screw up when he made me, right? He intended on making me the way I am, and he's, you know, still chiseling what is not me off. But he wants my true self. And the last thing about the worship that's really generous is this. It's honest, it's humble, it's broken, and it's unpretentious. And unpretentious just means that it doesn't pretend. It's not faking anything, it's not making anything up. It's not pretending, it's unpretentious. It's just this, there's this humility about it. I love the picture, for me at least, this is the way I take these guys this morning, sister, brother, really fantastically talented people. But Nathan is just, this brother, he's just humble. You know, he's not pretending to be a rock star, he's just being Nathan. And he's good, but he's got this, you know, humility thing about him. And when we come together, you know, like, listen, we're not all together. I'm not all together. Please. Don't you think I yell at my kids sometimes? I'm like, oh, that was just not kind. What was I thinking? I'm sorry, Aspen. I forgive you, Dad. Thanks, buddy. Does that happen at your house, too?
Never.
All right, never. Okay, good. So when we come together, you know, I just encourage us, stop pretending. There's no, you don't need to put on an act. Just be who you are. You know, I mean, I just like totally do away with this phrase here. There's two lines of this phrase, and they're horrible. It says like, this is usually what happens sometime at church. It says this. How are you? Fine. How are you? Fine. And nothing happened. Nothing was said that was actually true, right? Maybe you're fine. That's sometimes it's true. But a lot of times we're somewhere between, you know, fine and super and fine and I think my life is over. And we would just be so much better if we came in and just had this openness about us and about how we really are doing. And that we're, you know, on the other side of that, just being super loving toward each other when somebody is like, I'm just a mess. I'm sorry. I wish I could, you know, worship, but I'm just a mess. And can you lead me to Jesus? Because I need that right now. And there's just this beauty about never being afraid to become undone, right? And that's the kind of one of the hearts about generous worship. So I want us to listen to a clip from Brian Houston. Brian Houston is the pastor at Hillsongs in Australia, and they have shaped a lot of what worship looks like right now in the church. You know, I mean, for the last 10, 15 years, they've been really pursuing God. And so this is just a 3-minute clip from him talking about worship and speaking, kind of giving us an insight into this. So
Jesus told a story in Luke chapter 15, a story that I love. It's called the story of the prodigal son, but it's the story of a father and his relationship with his two sons. And one of his sons, his personality was prodigal, wasteful or excessive. The other son, his personality was inhibited, was bound. And you know, if you look at those two sons and their relationship with their father, it can show us two particular perspectives on the attitude that people can have towards worship. I mean, the father, he was generous. And he basically, it looks in this story, lived for his sons. He said, all that I have is yours. And the whole story that Jesus told, the father only used the word I once. And the one time he said I, he said it in relation to them. He said, all that I have is yours. Whereas the boys, they both had an incredible inheritance, incredible blessing from their father, but they wasted it on self-indulgence. The one by being excessive, you know, he says, give me what is mine. And the other by exactly the opposite, being inhibited. But the key word, it seems, in his life was I. He says, I never transgressed against you, and I never, and you never gave a party to me so that I could invite my friends to come in. I. Worship, it can be excessive for some people. I don't think worship can ever be too passionate. Excessive worship tends to be when it's not even about the God we're worshiping, it's when it's about I, me. You know, it's all about me and my dance moves. And when, like the older son, you know, it's I, me, self-conscious. Worship can become staid and ungenerous. Sometimes what we see as being conservative is just lacking generosity. Because to worship means to give of ourselves. Well, I believe true worshipers, it's not about us. Once it's about us, we tend to judge worship by what we do or what we don't like. Well, I don't like that song, and I don't like that, and I don't like that word, and I don't like, and it's too loud for me, and it wasn't long enough, and I think, and at the end of the day, you know, the true worshiper can be standing right beside someone going, well, I think, and I, and the next person beside them can just be absolutely oblivious to what's going on around and about them, with tears rolling down their face, worshiping the Lord. A true worshiper has much more the spirit of the Father in that story, which is a generous spirit. It's a spirit that wasn't just thinking about I and what I need and what I like. Whether that I makes you excessive or whether that I makes you staid, the reality is the true worshiper is a person, and the focus is not us. The focus is the God that we worship in Jesus' name.
And so I kind of want to lead us in just a time of sharing, of processing together, because there's two things going on to get us to the next level as a church. In worship, to take us to somewhere new, to cross a threshold. There's two dynamics at play. One is individual. Like God is asking us very, like He's asking Dave something. There's something that God wants me to do, that wants each of us to do or to become or whatever in this process, because it's like this individual responsibility. I can't do this for you, right? I'll do my part, but you got to do your part. You got to bring it too. And, you know, it's like the other filter was working again. That's good. The other reality is that it's us. It's this community. And we need to decide how we're going to live, how we're going to worship, how we're going to relate to each other as we journey forward in growing deeper in our relationship and in making our worship more generous, more open, and being more accurate displays of His splendor, right? So I just want us to talk about this, and these processing questions. So, again, just skip that. Is my worship filled with generous biblical expressions of worship? And I will just take a few minutes here for each of these, and these are not rhetorical questions this time. Yeah.
You say biblical expression. Is there a difference? Is there an opposite expression of worship that would be biblical?
Cultural, maybe? That's a good question. What's the opposite of a biblical expression of worship? It's a good way to define something is by defining what it's not.
Worship is biblical. I guess the question. You could be worshiping just whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think that kind of the way I look at Scripture is that it reveals God to us. It reveals His heart to us. There's black and white in there, but that's for me. That's not like primarily. It's about like what's God like. How would he react in this situation? And I tend to think about a lot about like the relationship between my wife and I, and as our relationship with the Lord. And you know, so love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We sang tonight, right? What does that look like? And what leeway do I have in there in my expression of that? It's like, well, I know I'm supposed to say, "Honey, I love you," but I'm gonna. There's ways that I love my wife just because I know what she's like, what she, you know. Like, I don't like massages, back rubs. Don't touch my back. Scratch my back, that's fine. But my wife just, I just, you know, "Hi, honey," and she's like, "Oh, can you rub my back?" Like, I just put my hand there, like, "Wait, do I want to, okay, yeah, I'll give you a little back rub." But I learned to do that because she loves it. And I'm saying I love you because of that expression. And that wasn't written in the manual. Unfortunately, she didn't come with one of those things. Well, that would have been a lot easier, God. And we do have somewhat of a manual, right, for the scripture. But there's still more to that dynamic relationship than what is just there. But it's a start. It's a good, like, so I think it's a really good question. Because there will be things that will do. You know, like, you might be an artist and you want to worship with the art. You might be a builder and you want to worship with the building or something. You know, but it's different. So I think is the real question that you're asking. Yeah. When I think that the learning in that question for us is a realization of how much even this church borrows from pop culture. Right? Even this church has borrowed a lot from the idea of performers on a stage playing. Now we say, "Hey, we're just leading in worship." But there's things that are like part of that culture that aren't necessarily biblical. So I think to be responsible is to realize that and to continually break that down so that it doesn't, because pop culture, some of that is just it's fine. It's just, you know, it's good music. Oh, it's, we use drums, bass, and guitar and piano. And that styling is cultural. It's not biblical. I mean, it has a list of instruments in there, but it doesn't have a list of these instruments, right? But there's also things that come along with that, with the cultural thing, that are like, "Ah, you know what? You're not a prima donna up here. It's not okay. You're not the show. You're not the center of attention." Right? You're just serving. You're a musical servant. You should be wearing, like, you know, aprons. You should try or robes. Anyway, but just being aware of some of those things that come along with that, and I'm talking to those people now. How about the ones of you out here? What does pop culture and this styling say about your role? Listen to the music. Yeah, I don't like them. I like that song. That's cool. That's not biblical. That's cultural. That's pop culture bringing into the church.
Even the church culture is to stand up to worship. Maybe biblical worship is more to lay down to worship.
Were you at that seminar? I started a seminar. What was it? Getting past. It was one of the Lanka worship link ones. I had everybody lay on the floor to start. Because it's just like, I mean, it's just about as, it's as, what's the word? Arbitrary, as, "Okay, everybody stand up." Like, "Okay, everybody pick a spot and lay down on the floor." I mean, if that was like our culture, they'd be like, "Yeah, okay, yep, we're starting worship now." You know, huh?
Bring your mat.
Bring your mat. Yeah, there you go. You roll it up. We have them all in the anyway. So, just being aware of those things, I think, kind of helps us get there. Do my expressions, is it okay if we could go on? We didn't really talk a whole lot about the actual what does that look like then, right?
What is our perfect
What's that?
Is there a perfect model?
Is there a perfect model?
Yeah,
What do you think?
My wife said,
"Oh, wow." Thankfully, my name is not David. Shoot, it is.
No.
Let's just, we all hear the Lord together. No. Wow.
Well, I think some of what we got to share, I mean, as we look at worship, we do this up front here because this is kind of what's natural to our culture here. You start going across cultural bounds, different countries, mm-hmm. go to different countries mm-hmm. and see how they worship. I think we can grow in our expression of worship by experiencing those different types of worship.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're really, really, really well served. We have this, church has this bad habit of getting really myopic and just, this is all we see, this is all we know, right? Like, my own experience, my own church, like, man, church has been going on for a long time. And they've done all kinds of things that maybe are fair game for us, you know? I'm not the proponent that says, hey, look, those hymns, that was yesterday. You need to do this new stuff. Come on. And I'm not one of those to say, look, the hymns are the sacred ones. Don't do none of this like new garbage. That's just the devil. It's like, no, we're the church, and we've been the church for a long time. There's a whole catalog of things, of music that we can use to worship the Lord. Why are you so, don't be so narrow. It's so boring. You know, and having that broader expression, that broader experience and perspective, you know, you can think, it's easier to think in terms of, well, across the ocean, a church would look like this. Like, oh, that's cool. It's like, well, how about across 100 years, a church would look like that? Is that still cool? Yeah, actually, it was cool. God was doing something there. What was he doing? Can we use that now? That would be fun. Yeah? Yeah, the heart definitely has a lot to do with that. You know, the first scripture we looked at, John 4:23, spirit and in truth, that deals a lot with the whole spirit thing. It talks about my true self. Am I doing something that's really from my heart? Am I doing something that's true to who I am? Is it an expression of me, or is it something else that I'm copying? Is it not authentic to me? And then the truth side of that is like, well, God has set some things up that, yeah, it's about him. It's you know, it needs to be loving. It needs to be, and I think the couple that, I can say, I agree that it's from my heart. It needs to be, the heart is a key issue in that. But I have to marry that with the idea that it has to be glorifying him. It can come out of my heart, and if it's not glorifying him, you know, I am an oak of righteousness, planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor, or different versions say this, so that he may be glorified. And that's got to be there. It's got to be from my heart, and it's got to glorify him. Yeah? Yeah. Do my expressions of worship reflect the generosity and the hugeness of the God I worship? Let's talk about this one. What does your typical expression look like, and what does God look like, and how do they match up? How do you see that matching up, and how do you see it kind of not matching up? I've stumped you. What do you think? I'm not the guru.
I don't want you to compare the two.
lifestyle that's within our body as a church, in some way, I would love to be able to be expressed through our worship services. I don't have, like, the way that we have things set up, it's really hard at times to do that. When you're saying, the upfront versus the congregation kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, if there's something bigger that you're doing within your life that's going on within our congregation, I want that to be shared. I want that to be able to be expressed in some way, shape, or form. I don't know if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But our God is huge. He is, and I want to.
Well, it's just harder with me personally to express myself really in a community setting. But, the only thing I'm putting on the show for.
You have that risk of being misunderstood.
Yeah.
So you feel less free here. Okay. Yeah. I love the way that that Gateway Worship in the church in Dallas talks about platforms and what they're for. You know, they specifically don't call them stages, because a stage is for a performance. A platform is for influence. You know, because we want to speak to each other in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and influence each other towards God. A stage, you know, you typically are putting on a performance, a play of some sort. You're acting like somebody who you're not. But on a platform, you're being authentic. This is who I am. I'm this way here, and I'm this way at home. And in some ways, this is a platform too, right? Because there are people that are watching, and there are people that are influencing each other. And so, am I authentic here like I am at home? Is there any difference? Am I this way at home? Am I this way at church? You know, and that they should be the same. But does anybody want to share? You know, in some ways, I see the whole like worship is display. If we're displays of the Lord, you know, it's like I can see a mantle. Like this is perfect. It looks kind of like a mantle in a fireplace. And up there on the top of the mantle, sometimes people put trophies, right, or things they want to show off or display, or thing, you know, things from their trips and silly. What do they call that stuff you buy in other countries?
Souvenirs.
Thank you. That was a hard word. Yeah. Trinkets. Yeah, I was thinking that kind of a. So that's not what. That's a bad word picture. But but there's things that are up on the mantle are there on display. So do any of you want to be a thing on the mantle tonight, on God's mantle? Displayed for him, and want to share with us something about something in your life that happened outside of maybe this environment where you reflected the generosity and the hugeness of God. Does that question make sense? And if you can say it in a way that doesn't make it about you, that's kind of an art to do that. But you can talk about what something you did, and it's something I did. Or it's something that reflected God. Yeah? And we'll give you grace if you screw it up. If you did something kind of in your heart that was that you were worshiping the Lord, you did something to the Lord for the Lord, but not necessarily like that you did something for somebody or you had something that reflected God's heart, God's love, God's generosity, God's hugeness towards somebody else. Just for us to, you know, to be encouraged. And to grow and to be influenced to do. I love it.
I think about our gifts that we have, you know, for everybody, whatever that is. And I actually get excited when I have an opportunity to bless somebody. I thank the Lord for that. It's just like, it just came to my mind earlier this evening. Somebody that's not feeling well. And I put some chicken down so I can make important foods or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. What else? Good. Thank you for sharing that. Anyone else? What was happening in your heart? What was happening in your heart when you did that?
It made me feel real good because I was able to do it for him.
Hmm. Right.
He don't know how to do it, and one was there at the summit, and I made one and it helped there. And I made two from a great place.
Yeah.
And then
he's an artist, just so you know.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's an example of what I was saying earlier about if we read the Bible just looking for the to-dos and we miss God's heart in it, we'll miss lots of opportunities to reflect God's heart. And one of the key dynamics of who God is that he's love. That's just what oozes out of him all the time. There's other facets about him, but that's such a core thing about who God is. And anytime we express that, we're expressing God. Anytime we express love to each other and give, we're expressing God. Because that's just who he is, right? I mean, that's, It says that that's the one convincing mark, convincing evidence that we're actually Christians, is that we share love to each other, right? They'll know we are Christians by our love. So it's a big deal. Yeah. Yeah. But no, there's, I mean, I think. I think there's really something about that way of thinking, is that I'm on the lookout for God things, for God moments, for God sightings, for signs of life, for signs of things that are happening that He's doing. And those unexplainable things, you know, it's like the whole, like the peace that passes understanding, the things that I shouldn't feel this way, I shouldn't be able to do this, I shouldn't, but God is doing something that I can't do, you know, I mean, it's like that is an expression, I believe, that reflects God. That's not, our brains didn't compute that. We didn't make that up. God did something that was bigger than us, and we didn't know. Next one is, what one way must I go further in my worship journey as a way of, quote, going beyond the minimum? This is an opportunity to, you know, maybe just say whatever, but maybe be vulnerable. You can if you want to. You know, what we're all on a journey. You know, we all make choices every moment. And as we're relating to God outside of here, when we're here in corporate worship, you know, what have you felt any promptings? And I feel like we'd help each other if we can share some stirring or prompting that we've been having. That would be something that we want to do that goes beyond that minimum thing. I mean, maybe it's going widescreen, you know. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. What else? Mm. It's good. What else? I say we stay pretending and just sing some songs.
A whole lot easier.
Yeah. Yeah. That's.
Of the word, like you said,
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the 100, everybody say the 166 matters. There's 168 hours in a week. You're here for two. And the 166 other hours matter. Right? You know? I mean, we tend to shady maple our lives. We tend to, imagine for a second if I say, look, we're going to go to Shady Maple today, Sunday, we go at 10 o'clock, and you guys can eat all you want to. I mean, and that's the culture of Shady Maple, right? Eat as much as you can, and then a little bit more. But imagine if that was the only time you got to eat that week. Oh, at least by Tuesday, you're going to be pretty starving. Probably by Monday morning, maybe. Right? Yeah. You know, but we tend to treat our spiritual life and our worship life like, okay, man, we're going to come, we're going to eat as much as we can, get fooled up. Hopefully, that'll carry us till next Sunday. 166 hours later, we're like, oh, I'm here. Can I have some food? And then sometimes we get a stomach ache. We don't know why. We're like, I didn't like that service today. Yeah, no, that's true. yeah. What should I do? I should complain. So is my personal worship a model for others to follow? Does my worshiping life inspire others to worship while not attracting attention to myself? And these questions are on your handouts. And I encourage you this week, ask God these questions. You know, if you're a daring person, it'll be easy for you to ask those questions. If you're not a daring person, it might take a little more courage, but it's okay to be afraid because it's not brave if you're not scared, right? And God is cool. God will carry us through. But this is a great question, I think, to look at my life, not so much like, you know, am I doing okay? But listen, part of the whole, our responsibility to each other is that we're supposed to disciple each other. We're supposed to inspire each other. We're supposed to be models for each other to grow off and you know, to say, oh, because I'm not, if Jesus would have said, hey, look, Dave is the model of my bride, and that's, just look to him, and you'll know. Like, whatever, right? Like, we need each other to see what God is like. And we need each other to learn from that, to know, okay, oh, man, you know how so-and-so just has this way of doing this thing? I just see God in that. Oh, that's cool. And so this question kind of ties in with that idea. What is it that I am doing that's just a model for other people to follow as well? So, again, the recap here. Lord, help us to go beyond the minimum. Help us to accept the risk of being misunderstood. Help our worship to reflect you. Help us to worship generously so that other people will be attracted to you, to bring those to you. Don't let us focus on us. And help us to be honest, humble, broken, and unpretentious. Did anybody have any questions or anything kind of burning out? Burning, yeah.
Ever since Marie shared, it's just kind of been, turning, I guess you could say. You shared about how, you feel you don't feel comfortable in a community setting, to express fully, and then you said, well, no, there are some that I do. And it made me think that probably the reason you do is because somebody else took that step and started it. Same thing with what Sharon said. Somebody has to take that step to show it. Mm-hmm. And, kind of just of the gifts that we're talking about in the body, we all have different areas maybe that we're able to step out in. Like, I would not be a good one to take that step and show me vulnerability. I can't, that doesn't come natural for me like maybe it does for someone else. So, I don't know, I think it just comes down to obedience and what is God working through me to
Yeah. That's a good word. Yeah. Yeah. Anyone else? I don't want to cut you off. How do we know what glorifies God?
By being obedient.
Yeah.
Following the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That the Holy Spirit leads you the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And that glorifies God. That makes him happy.
He's glorified by us bearing much fruit. You know, when we do things that are out of obedience to what he's called us to do, and there's fruit that's born from that, he's glorified by that. When we show love, when we do things that are like he is. I mean, does anybody have any other ways of saying, how do I know when I'm glorifying God? Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's what she's asking. Like, if this is my expression, my heart is, Lord, I'm just showing my love to you, but the people around me are saying, I'm not quite sure I like your expression, or it doesn't quite fit well with me, or whatever. Like, how do we just let go and just be like, wow, that looks like Madonna, or...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we can go, there's such a long way that we can go towards each other in loving and, you know, taking off our, like, you wouldn't wear a choir robe in here, would you? Right? No? It'd be kind of weird. Would you wear a black judge's robe, too?
Yeah.
Shh, that's the wrong answer. Yeah. And it's one of the things my mom, you know, has often said as a way of reminding herself. She says, look, I took my judge's robe off and hung it up. I don't have it anymore. I'm not the judge of things. I don't need to judge you. And you know, we're always going to get into trouble if we're trying to describe somebody's heart by their actions, right? We're going to be missing it probably. And we can go, and I'm not saying, you know, like, let sin run rampant. But can you guys, is this your kid up here? Just kidding. I love it. She's like, yeah, and?
What do you want to say about it?
Yeah, nothing. That's awesome. I really appreciate the culture here. It's just like some churches like they, you're not allowed to have kids in during at, you know, at certain times. Like,
well, we had them out, but they would be brought back in.
Well, yeah, I know, but I'm just.
It doesn't bother us too much.
It doesn't bother me either. But my kids are, I'm
he
anyway.
Pays more attention
with you. No idea. Judgment, not one or the other. Taking off our judges' robes. And just being toward each other, you know. So, practical step, when you're feeling like you don't get why somebody's doing what they're doing, and you think there might be something that's off in them or something, ready for the practical step?
Yes.
Have a conversation with them. Get to know what's inside their heart. You know, go talk to them. Go be loving toward them. Be approachable. Create a safe place and allow them to have the opportunity to share with you what's going on in their heart. Cool. All right. We're going to wrap up here. Can we do I Give You My Heart? And I can play it on the piano, or if you guys want to play along or whatever. Okay. But this is kind of, this is, I love this version of Psalm 51. And it'll be kind of our closing prayer, and then we'll sing a song together. It says this, generous in love, God, give grace. Huge in mercy, wipe out my bad record. Scrub away my guilt and soak out my sins in your laundry. Man, I know how bad I've been, and my sins are staring me down. You're the one I've violated. You've seen it all, seen the full extent of my evil. You have all the facts before you, and whatever you decide about me is fair. I've been out of step with you for a long time, in the wrong since before I was born. And what you're after is truth from the inside out. So enter me then and conceive new, true life. Soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean. Scrub me and I'll have a snow-white life. Tune me into the foot-tapping songs and set these once-broken bones to dancing. Don't look too close for blemishes. Give me a clean bill of health. God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. Don't throw me out with the trash or fail to breathe holiness into me, but bring me back from gray exile and put fresh wind in my sails. Give me the job of teaching rebels your ways so the lost can find their way home. Commute my death sentence, God, my salvation, God, and I'll sing anthems to your life-giving ways. Unbutton my lips, dear God, and I'll let loose with praise. Going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. I learned God worship when my pride was shattered. Heart-shattered lives ready for love don't for a moment escape God's notice. So make Zion the place you delight in. Repair Jerusalem's broken-down walls, and then you'll get real worship from us, acts of worship small and large, including all the bulls that can heave onto your altar. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart I worship you. All I have within me I give. Thank you. my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Yeah. Have your way in me, God. Our ambition, our affection, we live for you alone. Every time we breathe, we want to worship you by what we say and do. God, you're all our heart's desire, you're all we want, you're all we need, you are desire. It's a hard cry of mine. This is my desire put there by you, to live and sing and worship you, King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give to you as praise, and all that I adore is in you, God. So Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Come and have your way, God. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Have your way in me, yeah. Come have your way, come have your way in me. Come have your way in me. I believe that that's a desire put in our hearts by you. And so, Lord, just as this week, we just commission us to be those who can see the opportunities, who see the moments where we can worship, where we can offer a kind word, a kind deed, a cup of cold water, a song, a moment, an affection, a moment of our energy to you and to those around us. And God, I just ask that you help us clearly see you and hear you, and that we would see the signs of life that you have planted around us, the things that you've been growing and that were in our hearts or in our circumstances that, man, we thought were probably dead, but that there's new life coming up in them. Give us eyes to see that this week, God. Awaken us in new ways. And cause our hearts to be given to you, Lord. Declare these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
May there be time for you to reflect this week as far as what's transpired, what's gone through your mind, process that allow the Lord to just lead you on. And on Friday evening, we'll have a chance to just go and experience God a little bit more and have time to step out in what God desires us to step out in. psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Loving God, showing God's love to one another. And yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, God. Amen. Don't be afraid to practice. Thank you.